Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the very first day of March. That's good news, huh? Happy March to you. I'm Kathleen Dunn, and we are going to be talking in just a moment. I know that many of you are underemployed, and there are way too many people who are unemployed in this country right now. The author of Where the Jobs Are Now, and some of these jobs you may find surprising if you're looking for to plan your career, if you're thinking of changing jobs, if you have been laid off, fired. Joe Watson will be with us momentarily, and he looks at a number of different industries, including healthcare, government, education, green energy, biotechnology, jobs that are timeless, that can withstand any kind of recession and more. So that's coming up momentarily. We hope to help you this hour. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio winter membership drive, and you count on the Ideas Network for talk about issues certainly that matter to you. And we count on you to keep these discussions on the air. Please make a gift of any amount right now and help us to pay for the programs you depend on. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. John Munson from our Superior Bureau, who's been doing a whole lot of pledging all over the state. We're happy to have him with us in Milwaukee. Hello again, John.
Well, I'm really glad to be here, Kathleen.
We're glad to have you, John.
It's a beautiful day in Milwaukee, but yeah. March came in like a lamb, and
yes, it did.
It's a great thing. Hey, you know, another great thing is we had a goal last hour, 25 pledges. We should have a drum roll for this because...
Wait, I've got a little light here.
Okay.
Da-da-da-da!
Okay, here it is. Okay. 36, so we beat it by 11, thanks to all who pledged. But, see, our reward for being so successful
yes.
is that this hour, our goal is 75
oh,
pledges.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we're going to make this.
All right.
I don't want to hear this, oh, my gosh.
All right. Okay? No, I mean, oh, my gosh, yeah,
there,
we're
see,
on our way.
There we go. All right, so, yeah. That's what we want. 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. Please help us make this goal. It's extremely important that we stay on track with these hourly goals. So we need 75 pledges before 11 o'clock this morning. Please take a moment now and give online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in just a moment, we'll be speaking with Joe Watson. Joe is the author of Where the Jobs Are Now. You can get the inside track on top industries. It's an extremely valuable book for those of you who feel as though you are among the anxiously employed or you are unemployed or you're planning a career. You'll find this to be an extremely helpful book. It is yours for a pledge of $150. Or if you're unemployed, maybe a friend of yours can pledge $150 so that you can get this book and be on your way to financial security. Give now that pledge for $150 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552, and this book will be of great value to you, I'm sure. And there are a lot of people who don't have jobs, as you know, John.
Way absolutely, yeah. It's really true. Well, you know, in spite of that, we need people to make pledges to Wisconsin Public Radio to
yes.
keep this service going. And it may be one of the best things you can do with 3 minutes of your time this morning. Just give us your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. So whether you call or pledge online, please understand we keep your personal information safe. Your gift now of $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount feels right to you, will become the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world, programs like this one that you're going to hear this hour. So please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And for a pledge only this hour of $150, you will receive Where the Jobs Are Now and get the inside track on the top industries. Some of you will be able to pledge for, maybe that's a way to look at this hour, that we want to be able to help people who are looking for work. So pledge if you can. Give this book to somebody who's looking for work at this time. Or if you're thinking about changing your career, if you have a young person in your family who's looking to college and wants to know what kinds of jobs will be open in the future or are open right now, it's valuable information. Pledge your support now online at WPR.org or feel free to call us toll-free at 888-202-2552.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much. And thank you, John, very much for being with us. We're going to be talking about where the jobs are now, and our phone number will change. If you'd like information about certain industries, please feel free to give us a call this hour on air at 800-486-8255. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Joe Watson is our guest. Joe is the author of this book, and he's the CEO of Without Excuses. You can find that on the web at withoutexcuses.com. It's a professional development company, and also strategichire.com. He's been featured on the Today Show, CBS Early Show, CNN, Fox News, and PBS, and we're welcoming phone calls for him during the course of this hour. Joe, thank you very much for joining us. Hello.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Hi,
it's a
Joe.
Pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, great to have you here. Let's start with the bad news before we talk about what may be around the road for people. These unemployment numbers are really sobering, aren't they?
Very much so. And it's a problem and a challenge that in many ways is becoming somewhat structural. In the past, we typically, when you had a downturn, you looked at a 12 to 18 month window where the employment figures would be impacted. But we really are now looking at something that is sort of, if you will, ingraining itself into the norm. And that's the area, I think, of greatest worry for so many.
Mm-hmm. You not only talk about the unemployed, but you use this phrase, and I want you to expand on it, the anxiously employed.
Yeah, sure. The anxiously employed, you know, this when you have this level of downturn, it affects people really across the spectrum in different ways. And so the anxiously employed are those who are working every day and employed now, but they're seeing things maybe like their hours cut or their benefits cut or their pay cut, or they're watching their fellow employees slowly but surely maybe be downsized and so on. And that creates a tremendous amount of angst and stress every day. And they know they need to make a change. They're not sure how to make a change or where to go. And again, we're focused on helping them. And we've introduced an additional category too, Kathleen, which we call the hostage employed, which are those who are working every day, who are in a stable role, but feel trapped by the circumstances, trapped by the economy, the downturn, and maybe find themselves boxed in to a role where they really would like to be doing something different.
Mm. You mean they're unhappily employed but feel they need to be there for the benefits?
Yeah, they may be unhappily employed, and they also may just be reading the tea leaves, being an industry they know is in decline, and feel the need that in order to secure their future in a stable opportunity, that they need to go somewhere where the growth is. So they might find themselves in a traditional manufacturing space where they can read the tea leaves and they understand what's happening. While that business isn't going anywhere right now, they know what's happening, and they'd like to see themselves in healthcare, or they'd like to see themselves maybe in biotechnology, but they don't know how to get there. So the net result of that is they just feel trapped every day.
Mm-hmm. For those young people who are in college right now or who are planning their careers, are we still in a day where if you want to be a sports journalist, if you want to be a professor of English in a college, that you can follow what your dreams are, or do you need to be more practical?
Well, I think it comes down to being more practical from the perspective of being more aware. Understanding and accepting responsibility for the fact that the choices you made may very well have an impact on your work, your career, and your future. So, for example, when you look at areas of growth such as healthcare or information technology or security, these are areas that we know that even now and certainly as the economy continues to recover, there will be significant growth in those sectors. Those are things we know. For example, when we look at sports writing, while certainly many people today, I'm sure, are perusing online and in the paper relative to the closing ceremonies of the Olympics or the great hockey game that occurred, as you look over time, much has been written as well about some of the challenges that the newspaper industry is facing. So if you move forward into that industry, then you have to be aware and mindful that you're entering an industry that's going to be experiencing some turbulence, the future of which is unknown, and that will have an impact on your ability in all likelihood to move and to build a fruitful career. Whether that's good or bad, we don't know, but it's that unknown fact.
Mm-hmm. What will be the impact? Give me the numbers here of the huge baby boom population that many are saying is nearing retiring. They've started retiring. There are so many of them who are in government, who are teachers. it's going to change the workforce dramatically, I would think.
Yeah, well, you have over 70 million baby boomers eligible to retire. I mean, it's an enormous number. And you're going to see that happening over the next, 5-7 years. Now, the key there, though, is with the economic downturn, that's probably elongated that a little bit for some folks because their retirement savings and other things may have been impacted, forcing them to work longer. But ultimately, to your point, those retirements are going to give way and create opportunities for folks to replace them, younger people. The challenge right now for young people, particularly in that scenario, is that what are they going to do between now and then? And so my concern for a lot of young people is that since the opportunities to maybe move and be into a part of the workforce where they have the ability to grow and learn new skills, professional skills and otherwise, that bridge period of 5 years or 7 years, they may find themselves doing things that underutilize greatly their skills and their capabilities. And as such, they suffer a diminishment of their capacity. And when these openings come, they might find themselves less than able to move aggressively into those new opportunities that are being created by those retirements.
Let's talk about education for a moment. There are a number of people, as you well know, who are lifelong learners who listen to public radio, or there are a number of people who are in the field of education. You do list that, to me, surprisingly so, except when I think about the number of people who are retiring, as areas to look at in terms of changing your career, perhaps, or going into the field of education. What's open? What will be open?
Well, education, as our population continues to grow, you'll continue to have the need for teachers. You'll continue to have the need for example, English as a second language. You'll continue to have the need for other of these support roles inside of the classroom environment. You know, a lot of this, Kathleen, is going to be tied to different factors of consideration. You know, normally we've like to look at everything with a really broad brush and look at things nationally, where certainly now we may have to go regional. So you may have to start looking at what parts of the country have a need for teachers. What parts of the country by population are growing and therefore have that need for other educational support staff as well, and then follow, if you will, from a migratory perspective towards those opportunities. You're also seeing a tremendous amount of growth in the both the at the collegiate level, the community college level, and in the for-profit education sector as you see people moving aggressively to retrain and retool their existing skill sets to move towards gaining knowledge like things, emergency management, security, healthcare, and some of the other items we've been talking about today. And again, those entities right now are hiring because they don't have the personnel inside to handle the influx of folks that are coming now and seeking new skills and to expand their capacity.
I can't remember what the reference was for this, but I recall in the book you talk about somebody who was looking for a job. Tell me what area it was in, and you urged that this person need to do whatever necessary to secure a job, and I think that you told him or her to move to Texas, to move to Austin, where the jobs were, that you need to be willing sometimes to uproot your life in order to find where the employment is. Two questions here. Are there certain parts of the country that have more jobs than other parts of the country? And I guess number two, just to settle this in my mind, what was that in reference to? What kind of job was that?
Well, that was in reference broadly because what you'll find in Texas is because of their strong base in the energy portion of our economy, they have been relatively buffered by the downturn. And so what that means is not only the energy industry remains more stable, but, of course, in a region like that, the other businesses that surround that industry will also be buffered, if you will, or the effects of the downturn mitigated, right? So the law firms that support energy that are based there, the janitorial supply companies that are based in Texas that support the industry, and so on. It's a trickle-down, much like you also see in Washington, D.C. with the federal government. Very similar, you know, so it's not just it's whatever the base industry is, but then it's also the industries that support that one relative to that geography.
I see. We're going to welcome phone calls. We have much to talk about this hour, the jobs in biotech, more about jobs in education, in green energy, in government security, entrepreneurship. Many of us dream of being able to be an entrepreneur, and there are our guest cites in his book 6 million. That's an amazing number. 6 million startups every year in this country, even in a rough economy? Are following your dreams possible in terms of being an entrepreneur? Also that there are some dough buster careers, accounting, customer service, engineering, finance, firefighting, etc. So feel free to give us a call. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. 8655. If you would like to make a pledge just during this hour, you may want to pool your resources, and it could help you out for the rest of your life. For $150 pledge, we will send you a copy of Joe Watson's book, Where the Jobs Are Now, and you can get a lot of information on this very well done book that looks at all of the industries that are hiring people right now and that will be blooming industries in the years ahead. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joe Watson is our guest this hour, career advisor, media analyst, author of Where the Jobs Are Now, the fastest growing industries and how to break into them. And we're welcoming phone calls. Some of you, I know it's been a rough economy, may find yourselves anxiously employed. You may feel stuck in a job because you're getting benefits and you feel that you can't take a risk to move. You may have lost your job. Feel free to call this hour and Joe can give you some inspiration. That's what the hour is all about. 800-486-8655. Inspiration and valuable information. We start our calls with Tim from Green Bay. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to make two comments, please. One is, my sister, she just passed her bars for nursing. She's having a hard time getting a job. Anywhere she goes and applies for work, they're refusing that because she doesn't have any experience in the medical field.
Joe?
Yeah, well, what she may find is, you know, and this, and again, it's not a simple answer, but it's more one of understanding that it's really at this point a numbers game. And I know, again, that that's not overly heartening. You know, to her, what I would offer kudos first is that she's already way ahead of the curve in terms of she's acquired a very desirable skill and a very desirable certification. But now remains and comes really the hard work, which is continuing to push and to pound the pavement to find that opportunity. Another element within that I would recommend that she consider as a path, if she can and has the capacity, is to find some place where while she's looking now, she can engage in a volunteer capacity for a nonprofit, possibly for a senior center, for example, that might have an assisted living facility attached, for example, to a faith-based organization or something along those lines, where she could volunteer her time, and while she was looking, she could actually be obtaining experience. And then as she goes to apply for future opportunities, she could reference that experience as part of her application, and hopefully that will collapse the cycle for her.
Very good. And I was wondering, can I make one more comment?
Of course.
Regarding myself, I drive a semi. I have over 10 years of experience. When you go and apply for work, there's only a couple things they really look for. One is your medical, your MVR record, because they need to know accidents, DUIs, and I've never had anything. Although I did have my back fused, and I'm finding out right now, employers, they don't want to hire me because of that, even though I do have my federal medical card renewed.
Again, I think one of the things that you'll see, and again, Tim, is that it's going to come down to a numbers game. Unfortunately, right now, people are, because we find ourselves in an opportunity where there's an abundance of people that are looking for opportunity, employers and others are applying heightened level of selectivity, some of which, frankly, I disagree with. But regardless, that is the situation.
Okay.
What I would urge, though, is that you look towards the high growth industries. So, for example, in biotechnology, you know, they need drivers. In healthcare and medical devices, they need drivers.
Right. And these are companies that I'm applying to. They are currently hiring and looking for drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's very frustrating.
Absolutely. But I would continue to hire because here's what's going to happen. As the pace picks up for these companies and for these entities, ultimately they're going to be forced to relax their requirements. They're going to have no choice. Right now, they're continuing to be highly selective, but in the future, they'll shift. The other thing you may want to also think about is look towards sectors that support education, for example, and also government, which may be areas where they may not have, I won't use the word rigor, but some of the same criteria that you're currently wrestling with. So when you think about education, for example, don't just think about schools, if you will, or the school system themselves, but more importantly, the industries, both that sell products and services, that support the school system itself. And then look to apply towards those companies. So, for example, the food service companies that provide the food to those companies, the companies that provide the office supplies, which they go through in great abundance and so on. Look to some of those industries, right, that are supportive of the growth industries. And, again, moving away from maybe what you're experiencing currently, again, that may help you alleviate some of that challenge.
Thank you very much for the call, Tim. Let's go to Ron from Sparta next. Hi, Ron.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Anyone who has internet access can subscribe to a DOD, Department of Defense website. They issue contracts every week, so you know the companies that actually receive the contracts. I was commenting to the fellow who answered that Oshkosh Truck in the last 4 to 5 months has received between $2 and $3 billion in contracts from the Department of Defense. They are one of the fastest growing companies in our state. But I mean, this is for every state of the union. There are Department of Defense contracts issued every week to companies throughout the United States, and so you know which companies are actually getting our taxpayer dollars for. From the Department of Defense, amounting to about, if you take out the wars, probably $600 billion a year in defense contracts that are issued. So we're talking a couple billion dollars a day of contracts issued throughout the United States.
Joe.
Yeah, Ron, that's a great suggestion. Hopefully for everybody listening, what Ron has pointed out is really a core element of the new way in which you need to manage your career, which is to take more responsibility by looking at it as more of a business. Over time in the past, we tended to have a more random approach to our career. It was about the job we found was the one we heard about, talking to our neighbor, or we bumped into somebody in the store and they mentioned that ABC was hiring, and then we tended to put our resume forward, our application, and then we landed in that role, and then our career kind of rolled along, if you will. Now we need to become much more strategic in terms of how we look for opportunities. Before the recession began, there were 1.6 people looking for every one job that was available. We're now at something over 6.2 people looking for every one job that's available. And so you have to employ some of the creative types of activities that Ron is referencing here. Ron, I think that's a brilliant piece of advice for folks because clearly what folks may or may not know is that companies who are competing for government business do not hire people in advance of winning a contract. So once they win the contracts that Ron has referenced, they're then in a mad dash to staff those contracts with the appropriate people because that those staffing levels of the contract are directly tied to how much revenue or payment they will receive from the government, which is directly tied to the number of people they have working on that contract. So, Ron, that's a brilliant piece of advice for the listeners.
We're talking this hour with the author of Where the Jobs Are Now. Joe Watson is our guest, and the book is a valuable look at all kinds of jobs that in areas that you ought to look at. Surprisingly, many you would not think would be offering jobs right now, but indeed they are. Jobs in government, education, green energy, biotechnology, healthcare. There are a lot of recession-proof jobs as well for those of you who have skills in accounting and customer service, engineering, engineering, firefighting, attorneys, paralegals, social work, working with the elderly. Veterinary medicine is an area that needs people as well. So if you have some interest in this area and you want to plan a career or maybe learn some new trades for yourself so you can move into careers that will make you feel a little more comfortable in terms of security or in terms of your happiness, that's what this hour is all about. We're in a pledge drive, too, I must tell you. And I'm happy to tell you it's Wisconsin Public Radio's winter membership drive. And more than ever, you rely on information from Wisconsin Public Radio and the Ideas Network. Where in the world are you going to get this kind of conversation anywhere else on the radio? You just won't. Your gift today of, well, if you can give $150 or if you can give $150 and get the book and give the book to somebody who really needs it right now, although many people do, we ask you to give $150. And we'll be happy to send you a copy of Where the Jobs Are Now. Here's how you give, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org. John Munson is joining me again in our studios. Hello, John.
Good morning, Kathleen. Well, we've got a little bit of a hill to climb here. We need 71 more pledges before 11 o'clock this morning to help us stay on track. Thanks so much to those of you who gave, and particularly all the great people who gave last hour. We went over our goal. Well, we've got an even bigger one now, so please be one of those. You can be the next person to help us make our goal this hour. Please help us stay on track with a contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And as Kathleen mentioned, when you pledge $150, you'll get the book Where the Jobs Are Now by Joe Watson. That's the book we're talking about this hour. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
On the Ideas Network, you hear from the person who wrote the bill, who certainly wrote the book, who has unique experience. We're very glad to seek these people out. Rhonda Fanning does a marvelous job producing. Chrissy Peace, we've recently welcomed. She's doing a great job. We're wonderfully delighted to have them with us. We need your help to make it possible and make great radio happen right now with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, Kathleen, as you know, there are many reasons why Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become Wisconsin Public Radio contributors, and one of them is they want to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is a way to make a difference and help your local community. Your new membership today not only pays for programs you listen to, it also gives other people in your neighborhood a chance to discover Wisconsin Public Radio. Make that difference. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Today we have HD radio, online streaming, audio archives, and a comprehensive website. And Wisconsin Public Radio meets those expectations that you have from radio. Those things, as you well know, are not free. They require an investment in technology and also in engineering. One of those areas, engineering, that will be a place where the jobs are in the future. Your donation right now helps us keep relevant in a changing world. So please make your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, here's a habit we'd like you to make.
Okay.
Donating to Wisconsin Public Radio. I mean, we all have bad habits, okay? But today, we'd like to help you start a good habit, because it's a good habit to donate to Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your pledge of support today and then renew that support every year. It's a habit you can actually be proud of. 888-202-2552. Get it started today with any pledge, any amount at WPR.org.
And just a reminder, the $150 pledge will get you a book. If you're looking for jobs, if you're planning to change careers, if you are anxiously employed, if you're in a job that you can't stand and you feel that the benefits are keeping you there and you want to look elsewhere, if you want to help your children look at where jobs are, it's a very valuable book. Where the Jobs Are Now, get the inside track on the top industries, and it's for a pledge of $150. We'll send you Joe Watson's book. Joe is our guest, the author of the book, this hour, and we're welcoming on air phone calls for Joe. We go next to Mary from Richland Center. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. First, I want to say that I give monthly to public radio because if I didn't have public radio in my life, I would be devastated. And I don't have a lot of money, but it is something I put right in my budget.
Thank you, Mary.
Oh, you're welcome. My question is, I'm in my middle 60s. I'm working in a convenience store, not making a particularly lot of money. I'm working also at a part-time job, and I don't, because of my bills and my situation, I don't see that I am going to have the ability to probably ever retire.
Mm.
When your guest, who is very knowledgeable, when he talks a lot, obviously, about when young people, when they go to college and yada, 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 which is fine, but if I go to college for 4 years, I'm going to be near 70. Nobody's going to hire me. Is there any hope for someone like me, you know, somebody in their middle 60s who probably can't retire, who would like to make enough money to pay their bills? Because I'm pretty much, you know, a lot of times it's my bills or groceries, and the bills went out because they have to pay them. And I'm not starving, don't get me wrong, but it's very difficult, and very, very seldom do I hear any guest ever talk about, you know, what people like me are supposed to do who probably can't go back to school because it's going to take too long. Plus, I don't have the resources. It feels very hopeless. And I was just wondering if he had any words of encouragement for, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there in my situation.
Jill.
Yeah, and Mary, just a great point that you bring forward. And I think that first I want to state unequivocally that there is hope. And I think one of the things that's critically important as we think about this issue is to focus on a difference between learning new skills to go into a new industry and doing something that I call translating your existing skills to go into a new industry. We sometimes find ourselves when we hear about all these new industries and we start thinking about, you know, what I know or don't know about healthcare or biotech and so on, and we start looking at it through the lens of having to go back for lots of schooling and things like that, which are, to your point, for many people, it's just not a practical part of where they find themselves currently. But what we but as a result of that thought process, sometimes we can make it bigger than it actually is, because in many cases there is an opportunity for people to translate their existing skill set. So for example, working in a convenience store environment requires you to utilize customer service skills at a very high level, interpersonal skills to obviously man the registers and the other financial elements within that environment. Well, when you think about customer service, for example, customer service skill set is something that all growth industries utilize in some place or another, certainly hospitals or senior care centers, ambulatory care centers, and so on, are in need of those types of skills. Educational environments, whether they're front desk at a school or whether they are in a university environment dealing in the financial aid office and providing counsel or answering questions to people, calling on the phone and so on, requires those skills. And so for many people, what I stress to them is that it's about learning about the industry. That's where you should focus your time. So it's about hearing about, looking at your geography, for example, because where you are right now, you may not want to move. And then looking at, and looking for the growth industries and saying, in my surrounding geography, what is there an abundance of? Is there an abundance of information technology companies or energy companies or pharmaceutical companies? And then targeting those companies with your existing skill sets. But in order to do that, you need to learn a bit about what they do. And that's where I think, obviously, great things like public radio are here, because they allow people to learn about those new and growing industries and to hear from thoughtful people. But also, personally, we can accept the responsibility to go on the internet and so on and learn, for example, a little bit more about how the pharmaceutical industry works, so that you can then translate your skills into a resume or an application and show people where the commonalities exist. And again, I think that that's where the hope exists, is understanding this difference between the simple translation versus having to go and learn something radically different over many months or many years.
Mm-hmm. I want to know about your general advice concerning college, concerning trade schools. Do you think we put too much emphasis on having a college degree, or is it warranted, the attention we pay to that?
No, I think it's warranted, and I think that it's you can see it borne out in the numbers even now, unfortunately, in this very difficult downturn that we find ourselves in. Kathleen, you know, when you look at this, the difference between the folks that have, for example, a four-year college degree, whether folks that do not, relative to the percentage of the unemployed, the difference between the two is fairly stark, with the unemployment rate for those with a college degree remaining in the slightly mid upper single digits versus those that do not moving well now into the double digits.
We welcome more phone calls. We're talking this hour with the author of Where the Jobs Are Now. Get the inside track on top industries, and it includes a number of industries you may not have thought would have openings. What's going to happen in the future? What will happen with job openings when the huge number of baby boomers decide that they're going to retire? We welcome your calls for Joe. The number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. We're also in our winter pledge drive, and I must tell you that this particular book, if you can pledge $150, if you're doing very well in your job, maybe you know somebody, because we all know somebody now who's not able to work because the job situation is not great. You can give this book to somebody, or you can keep it for future reference for yourself. If you're not very happy in the job that you're doing, you may want to switch directions here, and this book will be of help to you as well. For a $150 pledge, and our average is about $120, so we will be able to send you this book. That'd be good for you, Where the Jobs Are Now. And to pledge, you should go to online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joe Watson is our guest. Joe is the author of Where the Jobs Are Now, Get the Inside Track on Top Industries. Tell me, Joe, about those industries that appear to be, and maybe they will be in the future, recession-proof.
Sure. When you look out, there's certain industries that are just ingrained in activities, are just kind of ingrained in life as we have it. And sometimes I use a really simple example, like armored car drivers. And, you know, we think about the fact that, you know, armored cars run on the same schedule, whether they're transporting $5 or $5 million. You know, it doesn't matter, and whatever the state of commerce, they will continue to run. And there are other areas like that as well. So, for example, from an industry perspective, the insurance industry, where certainly people are doing everything they can to maintain either their life insurance or their health insurance, their homeowners insurance. And these are typically some of the last elements that you let go if you can. If you can't hold on to them, you'll cut a lot of other things before that happens. Therefore, those industries continue to need folks really at all levels inside the insurance industry, from customer service to accounting and so on. We also see it in areas of dental hygiene and veterinary medicine, which may surprise some folks, but we care deeply for our pets and deeply for ourselves too, and needing to stay on top of our personal health and certainly of our pets as well. Engineering at all levels is something that's going to continue to be recession-proof. And if you think about it, whether that's environmental, whether it's aerospace, whether that's materials, engineers, agriculture, we're continuing to innovate. And I guess that's the key message in a lot of this as well, is that we're in a process of moving, and it's been accelerated from an industrial-based economy to a knowledge-based economy. And obviously the role of engineering and knowledge and in innovation continues to be paramount. We'll see stability in the area of finance, because even difficult times, people want to have an even stronger handle on where they are, companies and, you know, governmental and nonprofit entities, on where they are financially and their cash flows and so on. And that requires them to be more diligent than ever. And that contributes, again, to the need to have strong finance. And then one final one I'd mention is in the area of public safety and firefighting and police and so on, is that there continues always to be the same strong level levels of public safety is generally mandated and also required by our citizens. That's something that people definitely won't accept. It would be, for example, a diminishment in their area of fire support that resulted in putting the community at large at risk.
Right.
And so it's thinking about those types of things.
We go to Marlene from Spring Grove, Minnesota. Hi, Marlene.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is, I have a high school senior, and he's having a difficult time choosing what he should do, what route he should go, if he should go to a four-year college or a two-year technical school, or he's even looked at the military, but not knowing how he should decide. He has many interests, if he should be looking at what jobs are available and then see what schooling he should take or vice versa.
What does he like to do, Marlene?
A wide variety of things. Mm. He's interested in video and music production. He's also a very outdoorsy kind of kid. And he likes flying. He's interested in aviation. So he's got a real broad spectrum mm-hmm. of things.
Yeah. Marlene, I think that, you know, the key is I guess, that I stress people, and Kathleen, we talked about it a little bit earlier, is this idea of whether one can simply, you know, follow their passions, as was often, you know, shared in the past, or whether we have to have a different approach. And I think one of the elements that's key is I'm simply suggesting to folks that as they start thinking about where they go, so in the case of a young man going from a senior into his next stage of education, is to think about where the growth is going to be in terms of industry growth and otherwise, because everything now since the downturn is different, and we're functioning in a very, very different economic base in terms of the businesses and the areas that will be growing. Certain jobs, for example, that are gone, many of them will not be coming back. The industries will not be recovering. And so in the past, for example, where someone might have said they were interested in graphic design and they would have gone out and looked for opportunities in graphic design and said, oh, that opportunity looks neat, that one looks neat, I'm suggesting now that people look out and go, okay, here are 8-10 areas that I know are growing. And of these 8 or 10 areas that are going to be growing out through the future, here are 3 or 4 that look interesting to me. And then once you identify those 3 or 4, saying, now where are the very interesting graphic design opportunities within those 3 or 4 industries? Because we have to understand that you know, at this point where we are, as I tell people, and I would suggest to your son as well, that they have to follow where the investment dollars are going, the Wall Street dollars, the governmental research and development dollars, the private equity dollars, because it's where those dollars are going that you can be sure that those are the parts of our economy that will be growing.
And who would have known a few years ago, and you say that these industries will continue to grow, if you had a keen interest in information technology, computers, software, the internet a few years ago, you're flying right now, aren't you?
Yeah, you're in pretty good shape, and even if you're wherever you're working happens to go through a bit of a challenge, your ability to move to the next opportunity is a lot smoother than anyone else's, because not only are you in the right area from a growth perspective, but you already have the experience as well. And again, a lot of this also isn't rocket science. Some of this is simply based on looking at the simple facts. So, for example, in the area of healthcare or biotechnology, you know, there's currently a population in the U.S. of about 300 million people, mm-hmm. Still growing at a pretty robust rate. One universal belief we all share is that we'd like to live as long as possible. You know, and as long as we all share that universal belief, our friends in healthcare and biotechnology, which is pharmaceuticals and so on, will be very, very busy. And so it understanding things like that and understanding just the simple correlations can go a long way, I think, to helping people see where that growth is going to be and make sure they're well positioned.
Thank you, Joe, so much for being with us. Joe Watson, his book is Where the Jobs Are Now. There are a lot of jobs that we didn't have a chance to get to, but they are to be found in the book. And you can, for a pledge of $150, and maybe those of you who are hurting right now can pull your resources and share the book, huh? That would be a good thing for you to do. Or you can give the book to somebody, or you can muster enough to pledge to us, and then we'll send you a copy of this. A lot of valuable, really valuable information, and perhaps some new information about where the jobs are now. And, well, here's how you get a hold of us, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. We're happy to have, say, John Munson, whose picture you will see on the internet on the Kathleen Dunn Show later today, because he's all dressed up and ready to go, is with us again now. Hello, John.
Well, hello, Kathleen.
Hello, John.
Maybe people would pledge to keep my picture off of Facebook. You never know.
We want it on there.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552. This is the Winter Pledge Drive for Wisconsin Public Radio. We're asking you to help pay for the programs you depend on. You know, we've got a pretty big goal this hour. We need to, our goal was 75 pledges. It's still 75 pledges. We need to get 65 more. And so we need a bunch of people to log on to WPR or go to the phones right now. Thank you if you've already given at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And as Kathleen said, when you pledge $150, ask for Where the Jobs Are Now by Joe Watson. That's our thank you gift to you. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Did you plan for a career in radio?
I never planned for a career at all. I'm one of the luckiest people on the planet. I've never had a career plan or any ambition, according to my parents. But I just, you know, I grew up in radio because my parents are both involved in it, and my father told me, "Son, don't go into radio."
Yes, and of course,
Dad, you were
did.
Right. No, but I did anyway. So this was my backup career until I could afford to get a PhD in medieval German history and go teach somewhere.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'll just stick with this.
I'd love to hear the story. Yeah,
well,
it's not a bad
but
job.
We're down here to talk about me. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Giving is very simple, whether you give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. We just need your name, your contact information, and how much you would like to give and how you would like to pay. You can use a credit card if you'd like. It saves time and money, and we don't share your personal information with other organizations. For those of you in the job market, this is the hour to pledge or help somebody who is in the job market. Where the Jobs Are Now is what we will send you for a pledge of $150.
It's one source where you can get in-depth reports. You can get information about things you didn't even know you wanted to know about. It's real people talking about real things. They talk about musicians in Iraq, you know, rock and roll in Iraq, or in Pakistan or in India. There's no other source like this. What we have here is so wonderful, and I don't think a lot of people realize it. I'm John Ink from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and it is my source for a clear view of the world.
Give online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Programs like this aren't available anywhere else, and that's why you depend on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio and being able to listen to Kathleen Monday through Thursday from 9 to 11. So help us meet our goal this hour and stay on track for this pledge drive. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Remember, that $150 pledge means you can ask for a copy of Where the Jobs Are Now by Joe Watson. So please make a pledge now, 888-202-2552, or securely online at WPR.org.
It is true, John, and it's probably one of the reasons that we are in this business, that listening to Wisconsin Public Radio is like a tuition-free lifelong education.
Amen.
Isn't it? It just is. Every single day, that's where I get my information and my books. I feel like I'm in high school or college. I take the books home with me. I read them. I'm learning, learning, learning.
Best job in the world for the terminally curious.
Yeah, you're right. I like that. That's really good. So we need your support to continue to make the terminally curious fulfilled. Contribute now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help us reach that goal, which is we need 63 more calls. And you know, whatever you can pledge, if it's only $5, some of you can only do that right now, that's fine. If you do $150 or pool your money, we're happy to send you a book, and it may really change your life, Where the Jobs Are Now.
You know, we have to pay the bills just like any other business, and that's why we're here asking for your support today. We need you to pay for our phone lines, the computers, the broadcasting facilities we have around the state. You know what? If you can, please make a $1,000 contribution. It'll help cover the costs that make fulfilling our mission to bring valuable programming to Wisconsin possible. So make your pledge now, any amount, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 62 pledges we need by
all
the
right.
top of the hour. And that'll happen if a whole bunch of people go to their computers and make pledges right now or pick up the phone. We can do this, Kathleen.
I think we can, John. I'm sure we can, John. Think about how often you tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe it's every day or you're on your way to and from work over the lunch hour. Then you listen some more on weekends. It's a very important part of your life, and I know that it is many of your lives. Your day would be different. Your day would not be as enriched if you couldn't catch your favorite program. Please make a contribution to keep this service that you rely on very, very strong. Online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, here's a way to put your contribution to work right away. Make that pledge with your credit card. It takes just a moment of your time, and you're investing in a service that keeps you informed every single day. Your contribution in any amount provides essential support to Wisconsin Public Radio. You're a third of our budget, and we like it, and we like it that way. Go to WPR.org right now or call 888-202-2552.
Some of you may have donated a few years ago. You feel like you've done your part, but you enjoy listening to WPR every single year. So we need your continued support every year. It's perhaps been a while since you donated. We invite you to rejoin now online at WPR.org or toll-free by phone 888-202-2552, and we'll be glad to welcome you back to the family.
We need a bunch more people to make pledges right now in the next minute or so. Keep on calling or logging on, because everything that happens up until about 5 minutes after 11 will be counted toward Kathleen's program this morning. Regardless, we need you to make a pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And as we've been mentioning, for this hour only, when you pledge $150, you'll get the book Where the Jobs Are Now. Be sure you ask for it by name. Where the Jobs Are Now. That's the book that we've been discussing all hour, and you can have a copy for a $150 contribution. Thanks a lot to Catherine from Racine and Dale in Madison. Thank you so much.
And thank you, John, so much for being with us. We'll talk to you later. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour. Thanks to John Munson for coming in from Superior. Thanks to John Treader for on-air production. And thanks for pledging, all of you. We'll be with you again tomorrow at 9.